The bay was black with ships, and thousands of men were wading onto the beach, an armed multitude of an order never before seen in Greece. And already, Persian outriders were raising dust across the plain of Marathon. The men of Athens, looking from their walls to Mount Pentelikon and seeing the blaze of a great beacon there, warning of the Persians' landing, knew that the moment dreaded for so many years had finally arrived. Any army that the democracy could put into the field was bound to be horrendously outnumbered. Add to that the invaders' overwhelming superiority in cavalry, and the numbing fact that no Greek army had ever, in 50 years, succeeded in defeating the Persians in open combat, and the arguments for staying in Athens might have appeared irresistible. Yet no sooner was it confirmed that the Persians had landed at Marathon than the hoplites of the democracy, all those citizens who could afford to arm themselves, perhaps some 10,000 in total, left Athens under the command of the war archon Callimachus. But the strategy was that of Miltiades, and it was adopted only after days of bitter debate in the assembly. Miltiades had presented a compelling case. Yes, the invaders had landed in overwhelming force, but that was precisely why they had to be met. Two roads led from Marathon round Mount Pentelikon to Athens. Only let the Persians take command of one of these, and their horsemen would be granted the whole sweep of Attica. If the Athenians marched quickly, however, and secured the two exits from the plain, they might yet contain the Persian beachhead. True, they would be committing themselves to battle, but it had needed only two traitors to open the gates of Eretria, after all. Could a city such as Athens, one that had been rife for a decade with rumours of treachery and profiteers from the great king's gold, really hope to hold out during a siege? Yet the Athenian people might have to face the terrifying invaders on their own. The Spartans were celebrating one of their holiest festivals, the Carneia, a time of peace. Regretfully, there could be no question of breaking such a sacrosanct period of truce. Only once the moon climbed full in the silver-lit August sky would they be able to march. The Athenian hoplites, who marched with such speed to Marathon that they had been able to secure the two roads to Athens, couldn't expect to see a Spartan army for at least another 10 days. They had promptly dug themselves in before the invaders could break out from the plain. Then they had been joined by some 800 men from Plataea, every hoplite the tiny city had been able to dispatch. This was so touching a demonstration of friendship that the Athenians had found themselves powerfully fortified by it. Yet the spectacle of the plain of Marathon was fit to chill the blood. The Persian ships had been hauled onto the sand, and they extended along the curve of the beach for miles. The Asiatics, monstrous numbers of them, swarmed over the plain. Their horsemen, galloping up to the Athenian lines, wheeled and turned, mocking their adversaries' lack of archers. They didn't yet dare to venture beyond the lines, however, for the Athenians, camped as they were on raised ground, with steeper ground rising sheer behind them, and a grove sacred to Heracles screening them from the approach of the Persian cavalry, occupied a formidable defence position. There was only one way for Datis to strike at Athens before the Spartans arrived, by sea. When the invaders began to embark, the Athenian army would be confronted with a hideous choice. Stay put and risk seaborne enemy cavalry being welcomed into Athens by fifth columnists, or advance into the open plain and offer the Persians battle. Both were fearful prospects. But only the latter, Miltiades argued, offered even the faintest hope of victory.